The Adonis Audio Experience. Yesterday, Cindy and I had a chance to listen and discuss the New York Times interview with Harvey Weinstein's defense attorney, Donna Rotuno, as she explains how Harvey's exchange with the women accusing him of sexual assault was mutual, and suggested the women may have wanted something from Harvey Weinstein. It's an interesting take, and it gave Cindy and I perspective on accusations that can occur, and also the role the victims play in these cases. Cindy is a dear friend of 15 years and is a real estate agent for William Ravis in Greenwich, and is also a singer-songwriter working in studios in Manhattan and throughout the states. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi, Adonis. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming. You know, it's funny. I started podcasting a few months ago, and I can't believe how much fun I'm having doing it. And, you know, I'm so used to just talking to myself and kicking and screaming about issues, and I'm just so excited to finally do it with someone else. So you are officially the first person that's been part of this Adonis Audio Experience.
Well, thanks for inviting me into your world.
You know, again, I mean, I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to talk about so many different issues. And we just finished listening to the defense attorney for Harvey Weinstein. So, I mean, clearly so many things come to mind. The Me Too movement, right. Women's rights, just the victimization of people. But what did you think about it?
I feel like this has been a recurring situation in terms of, you know, women being or finding themselves in situations that they don't necessarily want to be in or, you know, had planned mm-hmm. on being in. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that the defense attorney touched on towards the end, like men making it clear to women what mm-hmm. they're looking mm-hmm. for in their interaction and in their engagement, mm-hmm. and women also, you know, responding in the same fashion. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. But I also do think that I think some new vocabulary needs to be introduced.
One of the questions I had is, you know, I listened to it, and obviously we all know what's going on with Harvey Weinstein. There's over 90 women who are accusing him of sexual assault, and you know, some more egregious charges than that. But, you know, we also understand that he's a big Hollywood producer. He owns right. Miramax Films. This guy is a mogul, right? Right. What I think is that I think culturally, it's, you know, Hollywood just has to clean up.
Right.
But yeah. The other part that made sense, and you know, here I think we're going to, you know, I'm going to try to tread lightly, but, you know, if you're coming to a hotel room at 2 a.m, and you're a female person looking to get a role, what responsibility or burden or shared responsibility does that person have, the female who's coming to the hotel room at 2 a.m? Like, from a woman's perspective.
I'm not sure if time is relevant. And I say that to say this. If I invite you to my home, right, you are my guest. And I should make you feel welcome no matter the time. Okay? That doesn't mean that I get to take advantage of you. Especially if my conversation with you is to say, hey, listen, this is my agenda for you. Right?
Sure, sure. Right? Yeah.
Does the time play a factor in how a person should behave towards you without making his intentions clear?
I mean,
is that...
it does.
So is it a silent psychosis? Is it part of a psychological yeah. acceptance that, hey, listen, if you come over to my house at 2 o'clock, you're asking for it? You know, especially if you're someone I'm familiar with, you're someone that I respect. You know, you're someone I feel that can award me an opportunity, and maybe this is your only available time. You don't know what I'm thinking.
Sure.
You know, if you're a dreamer, is a naivete switch being put on?
Okay.
When you're asking me or when you're inviting me.
Because these are young actresses that are looking to make their break into Hollywood, and they're like, oh, wow, is this the only shot I got? Then I have to show up.
I mean, that can be the traditional script that's been run.
Okay.
What about just saying these are young dreamers? Okay? And they're just dreamers, they're aspiring artists, and they're keeping their creative sense alive to meet another creative individual, right?
Sure. So, okay. Let's say that's fair. That's a fair point. These are dreamers, time is irrelevant, and it doesn't make any excuse for someone's actions, right?
No.
But then let's fast forward a little bit. Let's say you already understand this man's reputation.
Okay.
There's been talks throughout the industry where, you know, talks to the point where now people are hearing what this man is capable of doing, his reputation, okay? Let's put that same scenario in there. Is there some shared burden and responsibility in the fact that if Harvey Weinstein invites you to his hotel room at 2 a.m. in the morning, given his reputation, is it wise to accept that meeting?
I mean, you're, like I said, you're talking to dreamers. And are they going into a situation where they're not checking their ego? And that is to say, are they thinking, well, I have talent, and so I must be different?
So different in the sense that...
that he won't want to do that to me, because once he sees how great I read these lines, he's going to want to hire me. Maybe their mind is just not there. You understand?
I guess the only... And listen, I'm a feminist. You know, I grew up with women and in my family. So I don't disagree with the point that the victim should have a very strong voice in this case. I agree with a lot of it. The part where I'm still conflicted is in the sense of the shared burden aspect of it, is that if you know this guy's a sexual predator and you're trying to make your way through the ranks of Hollywood and you show up to a hotel room at, you know, the middle of the night or the morning rather, doesn't it seem like you're kind of agreeing to some of his terms, giving his reputation, and you're, I'm not saying consenting, but you're kind of enabling a predator in a sense. Isn't there some burden there?
I mean, people are just curious by nature. And just because people say, oh yeah, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing, once you see the sheep, you still couldn't believe that that's a sheep, right? So if someone sure. says, you know, this person has a reputation of this, and that's never been your experience, and you're just looking for an opportunity, and that is within your belief
sure.
that this person is going to change, is going to cause me to, or help me to change my life, you're gonna do whatever it takes, no matter what anybody tells you. Why? Because when you look at him, you don't see,
yeah,
you don't see this sexual deviant. You see a human being.
Yeah, because you want that opportunity so bad,
but,
and he is the person at the head of that, and you're looking at it from an artist standpoint. That
right.
my skill, my work, my craft
right.
is gonna supersede any type of preconceived notion that this predator may have of whatever it may be, right?
Right, but you're not even calling him a predator.
You don't even know that.
Right.
You're not even calling him a predator.
You're just calling him, this Weinstein, yeah. the super producer, the biggest Hollywood producer yeah. in the guy. That's all, when you're an artist, that's all you're thinking about.
Now, and, you know, I actually love this because, I mean, you're an artist, you
yes.
know, and obviously just for the audience, I mean, this is Cindy Rose and, you know, you're a recording
yes.
Artist who has, you know, worked in Manhattan, you've
yes.
worked in different places. And I'm sure, like, these kind of stories sound, you know, pretty familiar in a sense, just meeting with people, not obviously any type of bad things happening, but what I mean as far as how some of these meetings and the odd places you have to go, right? I would assume.
Right.
And, you know, but the whole time you're thinking about perfecting your craft, right, your singing ability, and things like that. And
songwriting or whatever it is. There's so many different things to put so at together the forefront, before you curate.
You're not thinking about.
There's no space to think about.
Got it.
That. Especially, you're just beginning. You have very low resources.
Sure.
Right? This person's going to open a door for you.
Yeah.
You want to be prepared. You want to come in. You want to look great also.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
You know, so.
Of course.
You're just not thinking about what everyone else's experience is. You're just knowing that, that's never happened to me. I must be special. Or I'm lucky. Or I.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to show him what I've got. You're just not thinking about that.
Yeah.
At all.
That's fair. You know, that's an interesting take. I mean, again, I'm a guy. I'm not an artist in that sense where, you know, I've been in that position where I want to pursue an acting job or a singing or songwriting career, you know. But I guess my question is, why is it that people have such a hard time of understanding your point of view? Because I think that...
Right.
I think that a lot of men in my position have a hard time really understanding that. I mean, I'm still trying to get my head around this. So what is it? Is it just a societal thing? I mean, why is it that we can't just see clearly that, you know what, these are just young artists or just artists in general that want this opportunity from one of the most powerful people in the world, and they're willing to do anything to secure that meeting? But that anything doesn't mean sex.
Right.
Right?
Right. Exactly.
So, I guess...
It has nothing to do with sex. When you're, you know, if you're an artist, you're actually, in my opinion...
Sure.
You're very naive.
Sure.
You're naive, you're pure thinking.
Yeah.
And you're just constantly thinking about... You're thinking about your own world and how to bring it out so people can see it, your magic, whatever that is.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting perspective. I have to say it's something that I am going to have to, you know, think over and really try to understand it.
You know what it is also? It's unbelievable for people to believe what I just said just now. It's just something that people are just like, artist has absolute faith within themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they believe that they have this conviction and that they have this extraordinary talent.
Yeah.
And so they just have this absolute faith in themselves.
Yeah. So I guess, all right, so here's a question I have. And if there was an opportunity to take a meeting with a man like Harvey Weinstein, would you take it?
Oh. Not without someone with me.
Not without someone with you, right?
Yes.
You'd go with someone with you. But at what point does it say, listen, I know I'm an artist, you know, there is that naivete aspect of it, but at what point does it say, hey, listen, you know, I can't go to that meeting at this time, right? Okay. Or is it the fear of not ever getting that meeting again?
Right.
Greater.
The latter. What you just said there. They're like, oh, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm never going to be able to meet this person again.
Yeah.
Or I'm never going to be able to showcase this talent again.
Yeah.
And so they're just like against their own conviction to, you know, reschedule it. Because they don't think that they have the authority or power to do so.
So it's like, man, if I, you know...
I can't say no to this guy.
Switching gears on this, right? What do people do going forward? Now that we understand how Hollywood kind of works in a sense, where these meetings are in hotels and stuff like that. It sounds like he's not the only guy having meetings at hotels. What do we do going forward? Because it just sounds like hotels in general is just a space where predators can thrive, where they can just you know, just come out versus to an office space. It would look a little weird if people started, you know, sexually assaulting people just at an office building, which, don't get me wrong, there, you know, that happens as well. But like, what do we do going forward?
There needs to be a new standardized practice where, you know, I don't know, producers or executives meet with talent.
Yeah.
Either through an agency or, you know, with accompaniment. Or at, you know...
So third parties, representatives, and things like that to come with.
Cannot be met without a representative. Cannot.
No solo meetings.
No.
No solo meetings.
No more.
Now, let's say...
Or unrecorded meetings, however, in whatever fashion.
Okay, so you would actually record a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that sounds fair.
It's just part of, you know, body cam.
Yeah, no, body cam, right? Just body cam, just the body whole cam. Thing, right?
No way.
I know. Now, how does it make you feel, though, when people try to paint a picture? And honestly, I really just want a genuine just perspective that's different from my own, right? Because I'm just a male, and I really don't understand all angles of it. But what does it make a person feel when it's like, oh, this person was asking for it? This person was provoking it. Like, how does that make you feel that, oh, you know, so what? He's a sexual predator. That person provoked it, so she got it. Like.
Right. I mean, that just sounds like, you know, that just sounds like it sounds like a sexual deviant. It, you know,
yeah.
Really, because nobody's asking for it unless I verbally say, yeah. I'm asking for it.
Because it sounds like that's where she was going. Like, Harvey right. Weinstein's defense attorney sounded like she was going to that direction
right.
where she's saying, hey, listen, the burden is on both people, not just the actual predator, right, is saying, oh, no, I'm making agreements by going to dinner with you.
Right.
I'm making agreements by having a drink with you.
Right.
Then going to the after party and then going back to the hotel are all agreements. So if something happens, you share in that burden.
Right. No, I guess they're not agreements. So she's saying, you know, she can't be saying that, but she might be saying implied agreements, right?
Yeah.
The behavior basically is displaying that you're in, you know, congruence with, you know, what my agenda is, which is not necessarily true.
Is it possible that, I guess, in today's, you know, in today and age of just, you know, the media just kind of taken over our lives, if you will, because we're always plugged in. I just think that there's no coming back from it. Is there such thing as subtle agreements, nonverbal agreements, where we understand if a male takes a female out to a dinner or vice versa, and they share an intimate moment, and then something sexual may happen? How do you, like... I can't even believe I'm asking this question, but how do you know when the whole night, the whole deal is truly consensual? This attorney suggested that have people sign consent forms.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But then the flip side to it is that if I have you sign a consent form, couldn't they just have people sign consent forms and then sexually assault them? And then legally just say, oh no, wait, she signed here. She legally consented that we were going to... you know, be intimate with each other. I'm innocent of whatever wrongdoing I'm being accused of.
Right. I mean,
does that create that kind of new hole for predators to kind of just fill?
I mean, you know, I suppose a predator is a predator, and however he thinks that he can get it or get past it, he's gonna attempt, right?
Sure.
But you know, to provide a paperwork.
Yeah.
So that a person can consent to, you know, a physical relationship, I guess in her mind is due process. I don't know.
But, sure. Yeah.
I think that it really shouldn't go to that you know,
to that extent.
To that extent. Yeah. I don't really think that it has to, you know, go to that extent. And we're definitely at, you know, problematic issue if that's where we are in terms of engaging in a healthy and natural relationship with someone.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing is, if it's about work, then it's about work.
Sure.
If it's about something else, then it's about something else, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And in an artist's world, just to get back to that
naivete, there's too many abuses.
24/7.
All the time.
So there's no time limit. There's no time stamp in that sense. Not like if I'm an accountant, I know it's weird if you're calling me at 3 a.m. to come to your hotel room.
Right, right.
If I'm an artist, it's kind of the nomenclature that, you know what, meetings are whenever because I'm an artist.
I've been in the studio with with artists from 12 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 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 just making...
Writing, they're re-recording, they're structuring their melodies, whatever it may be. An artist is really, you know...
So that's an interesting point. You did shed some light on that for me, and I appreciate that because this whole time I've been stuck on this kind of spinning argument that, you know what, time does matter. It matters if I'm going to a hotel at 2 a.m. But in reality, artists are not looking at time because they can work through the night. So if I'm a dancer, I might actually have a dancing assignment that it might go from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m.,
right?
And none of that has to do with anything that's sexual.
Right.
It's work.
Right.
And, you know...
Exactly.
That's actually very helpful for me. Exactly. Because I wasn't looking at it that way, though I do believe that there's wrongdoing that has occurred, because 90 people is just too many people. You know what I mean? At some point, it's like, you are... what people say you are about you, right?
Yeah,
when
but
it's
you,
that many.
There
it's
are
like, with all that said, some of these victims continue to have a relationship with Harvey.
Right.
And I guess I want to leave it with this and just, is that normal or does that prove his innocence?
No, that's normal. Because part of their dreams are with him now. He has a piece of them.
Okay.
Physically?
Yeah.
And he's also taken a part of their dreams with him.
Got it.
So they're thinking, now that I've, you know, now that you have a part of me.
Yeah.
You know, well, you're on the hook. You owe me.
Yeah.
In their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. No.
This is not what I intended to do, but now we have something that's...
Yeah.
You know, a lot more intimate, a lot more special.
So in essence, you know, that's almost a flawed defense in saying, oh, look, she texted me when she changed her phone number. She said, hey, Harvey, this is my updated phone number. Right. It's like, in essence, she's just doing that because she's now just complying with the process after being assaulted. And, and she's just still a victim, but saying, hey, listen, I still need to get that gig. So if I change my number, you still have to have a way to get in contact with me, though I think you're a monster, right?
Right. That's one way to put it. Yes, that's one way to put it. But that's also just part of them not being able to follow through with the fact that this man just took advantage of me. He was never going to do this for me.
Wow.
Taken a part of their mind.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're just not letting go of that. It's like their spirit is just speaking out. It's just like, hey, remember me?
Uh-huh.
Remember what you did to me?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But they're not saying that because they don't have the physical comprehension to say that. They're still dreaming.
Yeah, yeah. So that plays into it. Wow, it's not that easy as it seems. It's not.
No.
It's not black and white.
No, because what people are talking about is just the physical aspect of what Harvey happened. They're not talking about the spiritual aspect of that individual and that person's spiritual and emotional health.
Yeah.
You have.
And we're dealing with people where that is pronounced. That is a big deal because that's That's what makes the industry what it is.
They don't even know that that's what's happening to them.
Yes.
They have no idea. They just know that a part of them is with this guy.
Yeah.
And their memory won't let it unfold until they resolve it.
Yeah. Hey,
and do you ever think to yourself, now does a woman ever say to Harvey Weinstein, instead of saying, hey, I just want you to have my number, maybe they want to say, hey, is that all you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah.
They just cannot come to terms with that. Is that what you wanted? Is that what you did to me? How could you do that to me?
Yeah, sure. You know, now the last, and I know I've been really drilling into this because I want to get my head around this the best I can.
Right.
Is there a way that this is consensual, but given the fact that they didn't get the desired role, that he could be a person now, a victim from false accusation? Can that play a role in this?
That could be a scenario. You know, it depends.
Okay.
It depends on the individual. You know, it depends on the individual. If they're just like, I'm willing to do this beforehand.
So you're not ruling that out? That some people may have had those intentions as well?
I'm not ruling out that some individuals might have that mentality.
Okay.
They're saying, I'm willing to do this, mm-hmm. if that's what he wants. But I, as an artist,
yeah,
I can definitely tell you some of them are just like, what? Drinks? Yeah. Even drinks might make someone uncomfortable. The minute you offer them a drink, they're just like, it's out of their element, it's out of their environment. Yeah. It takes out their, it skews their consciousness to a particular level. So even at that, they begin to feel uncomfortable. But they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But the first thing Predator might do is get you something that eases you.
Sure. Yeah. Just to get you in,
right.
and into your mode.
Right. Just to get you to relax.
And relax.
Right. And not tense up.
Yes.
And you want to relax, right? Because you're ready to do an audition, or you're ready to, right? So you're not quite sure why he's offering this.
Not quite. And then before you know it,
right,
he has his hands or this, that, and the other in improper areas.
And you freeze.
And you are in shock.
You freeze. You're absolutely frozen.
Yeah.
You're absolutely frozen. You're kind of in a situation that you cannot get yourself out of.
Yeah.
You cannot figure out how you got yourself in it to begin with.
Yes.
That you're duped.
Yes.
And you just kind of let it happen.
Yes. Wow.
So it's not really a choice. Mm-hmm. It's a taking over. It's almost like mind control.
Yeah. Oh, at my that point. Goodness. That was vivid. That was a pretty vivid just picture and understanding of it, you know, and that actually gives me perspective. Because listen, as a man, we go and say, hey, listen, you know she was looking for it. You know she went to the hotel room at 2 a.m. You know that she knows that she has to sleep with him or do something to seduce him to get this role.
Right.
And all these things are understood because that is the culture. That's Hollywood. That's what people do, right? So we're assuming that at a very basic primal level that people are just saying, oh yeah, this is automatic. Duh, right?
Right.
But in reality, it's a lot more complex than that.
Right.
We're dealing with people who take art at a very serious level, so serious that someone who is not in that space would have a hard time understanding.
Right. Because they're thinking about the pure physical element. And what I'm saying to you is, when you're an artist, it's a spiritual element. You're taking nothing and you're turning it into something.
Yes.
Right? Go like, that's just a breath.
Yes.
But if I start singing to you, I just took that breath and I made it a whole tune.
Yes.
Right? I made it a whole mood.
Yeah.
You change that. So that belief...
Yeah.
That's pure.
Yeah.
So you're not thinking like that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That sheds a lot of light. I think that's going to help a lot of people, especially people who are going to be listening to this, just have an understanding of what it truly is to be an artist and to have opportunity come to you.
Right.
It's so big that... You're not you're not thinking in these basic terms. And then there's a possibility, and all these accusations are alleged, but there's a possibility that this man is taking advantage of that.
Yes.
He understands how these people think, artists being yes. these people, and then he's bending it
yes.
to satisfy
his
own sexual primal cravings, right. physical cravings.
Physical, yep,
worldly cravings. And then he's trying to bend the narrative that there is...
It's their fault. They yes. knew I told them to come here at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Got it.
They knew.
Yeah, yeah. Of right. course, because it's obvious, right? Yeah.
And
it's
like 2 a.m. hotel. She accepted my drink.
Yeah, and someone in my world is right. like, of course, right?
Because that's all you see. It's
that's all we see is flesh and just alcohol and mood. And at a very basic level, we understand that that all equates to a physical exchange
right.
of some sort.
That's it.
And...
Because human nature is to believe what they see. That's it. What they don't see, don't believe in.
And he is banking on the fact that he's going to get a jury of his peers that is going to understand that argument.
Logic.
That logically, of yeah. course, they were asking for it.
Right.
And the more that come out of the woodwork, the more it just proves his theory that, of course, they all just wanted jobs. Now they're right. all ganging up on me.
Because they didn't get it.
Because they didn't get exactly what they wanted no. or... You know, they didn't like my personality or they're just mad because I've moved on.
No, they're mad because you
did something to
falsely
them.
Advertised yourself.
Falsely advertised yourself, used their dream and their spirit
against them.
Against them. And during the actual physical part of it,
right.
they
you assaulted their spiritual essence.
Assaulted their essence, which when that happens to anybody, that could shock their system.
Right. That's why you ever hear
and
people...
they can't react.
Women say, I just froze.
I just froze. Yeah. Yeah, I've actually heard that.
I just
in
froze.
Some of the interviews. Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Wow. You know, thank you. Thank you. That sheds a lot of light. Yeah. Well, Cindy Rose,
yep.
thank you for being... part of this live experience for me.
Thank you.
It's my first live episode, but I hope is many, one of many of these live interviews that I do with people. And, you know, I look forward to doing many more.
Oh, thank you for having me.